The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. I know you're gonna say to me after Father, we have to go through this rigmarole every year. To say every year, right? What is the Immaculate Conception? Is it the toughest? Yeah, right. The tough thing is that we have this gospel passage to celebrate. On standardized tests. Okay, just bear with me. Okay, it's past my bedtime. Okay, so okay, standardized tests, right? Yes, you have the question, and you have four answers, and three of the four answers are going to be the most commonly made mistake, right? The number one, number two, number three, most commonly made mistakes. Yeah, so the church is not helping us out by putting right in front of us the most common mistake related to this particular feast, right? What is the Immaculate Conception? It's not the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. It's the conception of Mary in the womb of her mother, Anne. Yeah, so I have to say it every time. I have to say it because I still have memories of Jeopardy gone awry. I mean, it's every single person on Jeopardy getting it right. The smartest people in the world, and I know we're smarter than they are, especially as it comes to the things of the faith. But I want to get this right. I can't imagine seeing a parishioner years from now on Jeopardy getting this question wrong. Right, the embarrassment of it all. So okay, anyway, it's about Mary, yeah, and an immaculate means, not having stain, not even the stain of sin. So it's not just sin, right? It's not that Mary never sinned. It's that she had also not the stain of sin. St. Paul puts this in a different way as it relates to, say, holiness. Those who have life, who have possession of life, or are possessed by the Lord of life, and those who are headed to destruction. There's only two camps in this sense. And he says it's the fragrance, right? The aroma of holiness, right? So to be freed from any stench of sin, any stench of death. Yet death had no dominion over her. She was not ruled in the least from the beginning by sin and death. Okay, now that's something we can say, well, it's perhaps a little hard to imagine that, because of course not only do we find ourselves, at least antagonized by sin or death, tempted or tried or the rest, but of course the world around us finds itself in a state of almost seeming disrepair over the rule of sin and death. Of course, we say that, we might be quick to point that out or observe it. But we ought to also be quick to point out that the answer that God gives to the fact that the world has fallen under the rule of sin and death is Mary, immaculate, especially Mary as the model and archetype of the church, the bride of Christ. Yeah, so because that's us as well, right? Mary, then it's not simply Mary's being, say, from the very moment of her conception, not tainted by sin, an original sin, but also it's our being liberated from that burden ourselves, living as an advanced sign and participation in what God wants to achieve in the entirety of His creation. And so you and I, are called to live lives also beyond sin, beyond death. And you can say, well, how could I possibly do that, right? I'm pretty sure I'm going to die. I'm not sure I'm going to die, but this is a different, I know it's perhaps something really quite wrong with me, but I'm convinced that, yeah, Jesus is going to come back sometime. You know, He might as well come back in my lifetime, at least these are the kind of bargaining prayers that I have with Him from time to time. So, come on now, Jesus. Why not now? Why not now, right? And of course, we make that prayer our own this Advent season, but we understand that we are under the dominion of death. We're still tempted and tried by sin. We find ourselves living under its burden. And yet, in the power of the resurrection, right, in the power of Jesus' death, which defeats death, the power of His resurrection, which grants for us the way of life, right, to live beyond death now, trusting and following Jesus is how it happens. And then by His ascension and the sending of His Spirit, yes, we can live beyond the rule of sin and death now. The odor of death need not cling to us. Yeah? The stench of sin need not cling to us because we follow Jesus in faith. Now, what did I say? I said basically by the Paschal mystery, we have been liberated to live lives totally dedicated to God and His purposes. Yeah? And we could say, well, Mary didn't need that. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And this is why, in one of the prayers that we have for the Mass, we hear about God's prevenient grace. Okay? Prevenient grace. It means it's grace that happens, you Latin scholars, you're going to have to help me out. Okay, no. Prevenire is to come before, right? To come before. So the grace that is coming in, say, the death and resurrection of Jesus arrives on the scene before in the Immaculate Conception of Mary. So as to say that Mary also is saved, right? Mary also is beneficiary of the redeeming work of Christ Jesus. She herself is preserved from original sin by the death and resurrection of her Son. Yes, so that's that prevenire work. Okay, so this is the tough thing, right? Is to say it's not based on Mary's personal merits that she is saved from falling in the ditch or being stained by original sin. It's by the saving action of God. And we can claim that for ourselves, right? Okay, sure, we weren't prevented from falling in the ditch. We weren't prevented from the stain of original sin that we struggle to shed, right? But we likewise have been claimed by the grace of God. And as Mary is the archetype of the church, yeah, we see what we can be and what we were made to be, which is that we're made to live faithfully to Jesus. We're called to be obedient to His word. In fact, we find life, that's that same life, God's own life of love that preserves Mary from the stain of original sin, also is at work in us and working through us so that we can live the lives of great holiness and justice that we see on display in Mary. We can live lives of charity, of radical generosity that we see in every page of the scripture where Mary shows up. Because we have what she had at work in her and working through her. We have access to God's own life of love here and now. Yes, because of the perfect planning of God. But the perfect planning of God right? On the one hand, preserves Mary to be the vehicle of grace that she becomes. But the grace of God and the perfect plan of God has also called us to himself so that we might live according to his plan. Yeah, and so now in the power of Mary's maternal love and in the power of the love of her son, not only for her, but for his bride, the church, and every member of his body, we're able to echo her yes. We're able to live according to the archetype. We're able to follow Jesus in faith with everything we've got. And so we may not have been preserved from the stain of original sin in our conception, but we will be part of God's rolling back the rule of sin and the dominion of death wherever it is he sends us to bring his love to life for his beloved world.